The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali. On the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. So when you take long trips, or when you did as a child, do you play games in the car? I mean, there are some great car games, right? Like the alphabet game. You go down the road looking. A is in Applebee's, B is in Bermuda, but if you see that while you're driving, you're in trouble. But, you know, there's all kinds of different things that you can do. There's like any of y'all play like the car bingo games, you know, the green cards with the little red things. If you still buy those at Cracker Barrel, by the way, those are a lot of fun. And then you could play like license plates where you look and see all the different states that you can find and check them off along the way. Well, I used to do all of that when I was a kid. But there was another game that my brother and I used to play. It was called the line game. Now, the line game was difficult and physically strenuous, because what you would do is we would have an imaginary line that would go down the middle of the back seat. And if anyone crossed that line, whatever body part ventured over was free to be hit. And so if my brother had his hand right there and moved it over, I could just pound on it. Or if I fell asleep and my leg somehow made it to the other side, I could be woken up with excruciating pain from my older brother's pounding on my leg. And usually, there was no winner of that game, but it came to an abrupt halt about the time my father threatened to join in and hit both of us. But we always had that division down the middle. But see, nowadays, it's different. Because it's not just an imaginary line. Now we are in the minivan stage where we have chasms between children. Someone wised up along the way and made sure kids were far separated from each other across the car. That and giving them movies to watch the whole time, you know, but still, it's a totally different generation where they're completely and utterly separated. But it's kind of fitting, isn't it? Because we live in a completely and utterly separated world, don't we? I mean, we are divided by so many different things right now. We're divided by our location, north or south of the Mason-Dixon line. We're divided by our high schools and the schools that we're zoned for. We're divided by our team allegiances. And if you don't believe me, maybe think back a couple months ago to a Clemson-Carolina game where people wouldn't even speak to each other for an entire week and the 2 days after. And let's be honest, I'm not sure that it's really our team we want to win so bad or just we don't want to lose to hear it from the other people. Am I wrong? And so we're divided by all of those many things, but we're also divided by our race, our gender, our sexuality. we're divided by our socioeconomics. We're divided by our education level. We're divided by our politics. And boy, oh boy, isn't that becoming fun, isn't it? I mean, right now, we're going through an impeachment, so we can't even talk to each other about that. And joy of joys, it's an election year. And so if we weren't divided by before, just wait, because November's a-coming, right? And, you know, it used to be we could agree to disagree. Then it became, I'm wrong, you're right. Now it's just, I'm wrong, and you're evil. We are completely and utterly divided. But it's not just our team allegiance, it's not just our politics, we're also divided by our faith, aren't we? I mean, every time the church has tried to unify, it's broken apart. Ask the United Methodists right now. They're called United Methodist, and they once again decided to separate. But we can relate because the ELCA was formed in 1988 by the coming together of three Lutheran bodies. And guess what? Come 2009, now there's three again with just different names. And that's just the Christians. We're divided by so many things. Sadly, this is nothing new. We heard about it in our second lesson. St. Paul is writing to the churches at Corinth, who apparently, since his departure, had become separated. And they began to claim their allegiance, not based on Jesus, but based on whose team they were on. I was baptized by Paul. I was baptized by Apollos. I'm Peter's guy. I'm with Jesus, which is always the trump card, right? And so they're arguing about who's better. Whose team they're on. And so Paul writes to them and says, don't y'all get it? I mean, has Jesus suddenly been divided and there's all kinds of different Jesuses running around? He's like, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you. And then he remembered, well, I did baptize this person, no, and this person over here. But for the most part, he didn't baptize many people there. Because it's not about that. It's not about our divisions. It's not about our teamwork. But see, here's what it boils down to, folks. Do you know why we're divided? Because we have to be right. We separate ourselves because of our need to be on the right side. I mean, have you ever had an argument going in knowing that you were wrong? We fight for our right to be right. And so, whether it's based on faith, based on politics, we go at it hardcore because we think that we are on the winning team. We think that we are right. And we will fight tooth and nail so that everybody knows that we're right. But listen to what St. Paul says here. It says in verse 17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. What Paul is saying right there is that the power of Christ comes not in being right, it becomes and being broken, and being fallen, and being wrong. Because of Jesus Christ, because of our wrongness, Jesus Christ came to this world and gave his life so that you and I can have life and life eternal. And that is what it's all about. So here's the reality, folks. I said this a few weeks ago, and I'll say it again. We are not black or white. We are not male or female. We are not gay or straight. We are not Republican or Democrat. We are children of God. That is our identity. That is the identity given to us at baptism. That's who we are. Period. Now, all of the other things may make us up as individuals, but you and I are part of the body of Christ. We have been made one through Jesus Christ. And so we need to start fighting for our unity. Because here's the reality. We cannot celebrate our diversity until we first have unity. I'll say that again. We cannot celebrate our diversity until we first have unity. We cannot see the good in the differences other people have until we are first together. And we have been made one through Jesus Christ. The word diversity comes from the same root that division comes from. So we must, above all, seek unity. We must find ourselves on the same page and relate to each other first as children of God. Secondly, we have to celebrate our wrongness. I'll say that again. Celebrate your wrongness. Because without being wrong, we have no need of Jesus Christ. If we're always right, we're perfect. And if we're perfect, we don't need to be saved. But the reality is, you and I find our faith not in being right, but in being wrong. Being fallen and broken sinners. And through our wrongness, the power of God is shown. Because we are fallen, broken sinners, when we do something right, it's only because of the power of Christ working through us. And lastly, I'm going to quote Stephen Covey here instead of the Bible. Any of you ever read The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People? The fifth habit is first seek to understand, then to be understood. As Christians, you and I are called to put our neighbors ahead of ourselves. We are called to listen before we speak. We need to begin to open our ears and listen to our fellow brothers and sisters. We need to listen to why they believe what they believe. We need to listen to what their experience is like. Because here's the reality. No one has ever been won to the other side through hatred and arguments. Never. We are brought together through relationships. And the first relationship is centered on Jesus Christ. Dear friends, you and I are children of God and members of the body of Christ. We have been made one, each of us different, none of us exactly the same, but we have all been brought together for a particular reason. And therefore, we need to celebrate that unity. We need to come to each other with our ears open, listen to each other, and seek to understand our neighbor. Because can you just imagine what this world would be like if we had unity instead of division? Can you imagine what it would be like to peacefully talk about things like politics or sports? Can you imagine what it would be like to show love instead of hate? See, that's what'll change the world, my friends. Let us be one together in Christ, because that's who we are. Amen.